Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. And today we have got more simple, more easy to digest news to talk about. And of course, Tom Bellingham, it is one of the most wondrous events of the year. The Haas F1 car launch.
Otherwise known as the Haas F1 picture drop on Twitter.
And the 1 minute video, Tommy, let's not forget the,
yes.
The effort that went into that as well.
That okay, didn't work. Little...
yeah, we premiered, didn't we, on YouTube, and it was counting down for quite a significant amount of time, and then it went, thanks for watching. We were like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we heard in our Twitch chat that everyone had already seen the images on Twitter, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was brilliant. But then we watched it together, didn't we? And we were both reasonably underwhelmed. But let's get our first thoughts out the way, shall we, Tommy? And we're in car launch season. It's you know, everybody has their own individual thoughts on what makes a livery good or bad. I think for me, what perfectly describes what the Haas car is it was one of the. It's probably the most boring. Clean car. You probably see, like, it looks good, and if it was a unique one of a kind thing, you'd go, "Oh, it's quite a, you know, oh, I love the black, and then the accents of the white, and then the red." But we're very much in a part of Formula One where this is normal. This is not any kind of sideways step when it comes to livery design. This is straight down carbon vibes with a bit of accents for the team branding.
Yeah, the car itself, it's not too dissimilar to last year. I think they've cleaned it up a little bit. They've got now even more carbon or black or whatever they're going to go with, but probably carbon. Got rid of the white on the nose. And
you think they're going to paint it, mate?
They're definitely not going to paint it, are they?
Definitely and carbon.
I think you're right. A few years ago, when this would have been really exciting, and I think when the cars were painted, throwback to 3 or 4 years ago, which is a wild thing to think about now, and that's why it's kind of so annoying, I think it would have looked really, really cool. But, you know, we may or may not see a black Mercedes or carbon Mercedes again. We've just seen a McLaren, which is going to be carbon with some orange on it. We're going to see Steak on Monday, which I'm predicting already is going to be a lot of carbon with some bright green lines on it. And it just makes you wonder that, yeah, it kind of loses that excitement. And it's not the most interesting colour scheme either, just white and red, similar to last year. So it does just feel a bit underwhelming, whereas it's so weird because on the grid you look at it and it is underwhelming and you kind of feel like you want to give it like a 3 or a 4 out of 10. But if it was like you separated all the context, everything else, it's actually a really nice, clean looking livery and they've done a good job with it. But it is just what they've got to deal with this new regulations, which I really hope it changes, because I really don't want to see livery season just become this kind of, here's a carbon car with a line on it.
Yeah, clean but underwhelming. And that's not what we look for in cars. Like, you look back over the years and the history in Formula One, you have such vibrant, distinguished cars. And now you're getting into an era that you'll look back and go, oh, that was a lot of car. Oh, that was a lot of carbon. Oh, that's a lot of carbon. And
you don't even have to go that far back, do you?
If you
watch like the first series of Drive to Survive, which isn't even that long ago, was it first series or second series? Like 2018, you had like a bright pink Racing Point, a bright orange McLaren, a bright yellow Renault, bright red Ferrari, or whatever, and the grid looked really cool. And then yeah, now you're going to look at the whole starting grid and it will just be carbon cars with a slight bit of paint on, which is a shame.
And also, it's not a hard fix. That's the thing. It's like you just mandate that everyone has to paint their car with a certain type of...
Yeah.
Where is it? Where is... It's so simple. Surely it makes sense as well for sponsors because you can be a bit more creative with deliveries and therefore shout out particular brands that spend lots of money with the team. So for me, it's just...
Well, look at BWT, like everyone roast them for the pink, but like we all know BWT. It's like that shows that it's such a good marketing tool to make a really unique, yeah, bright, crazy color. And everyone goes, oh, it's BWT. And you know exactly that. But when, yeah, you get like these carbon underwhelming cars, I bet if you ask people to name like five Haas sponsors without looking at the car now, you wouldn't be able to do it. So,
yeah. Hopefully this will change. Fingers crossed, because we want the identity between each team to be very, very clear. Now, the first sort of question that I think is probably on a lot of our minds around this, and really we want to dive into this further, and it's how will Lewis Hamilton deliver at Ferrari in 2025?
It is so true, like that people. Haas just got so, I don't know, that they tried to do something by being the first to launch and, boy, slightly overshadowed, to say the least.
Slightly. I almost went into how I think Lewis Hamilton will do, but that's not for today. First question comes in from J.L. Rube. Is an underwhelming launch perfectly on brand for Haas? Is this your burner account, Tommy? Because I know that you're loading up some slander on this team. So we'll wait to see when that one comes out. But I think it just, it is, I guess, on brand with where Haas are in the sense of they don't have the resource, the facilities, the place in order to maybe host a really amazing car launch. And you know, they probably sit down at the start of the year or the end of last year and go, so what are we going to do for our car launch this year? Well, we don't really have any money to spare, and Gene has been on the phone telling us to save every penny. So having mechanics dancing around with front wings and tires in their hands and doing all kinds of crazy stuff on our car launch for a car that is probably going to finish 10th in the constructors anyway is probably not the best use of our resource and money. So yes, it is on brand. I think it very much reflects on where Haas are at the moment, and I didn't expect anything more from them. It's just a bit sad. Obviously, we have had McLaren release their livery as a picture, but I guess this is technically the first car launch, if you want to call it that. I don't know why they'd want to be first, because there's nothing really to talk about when they don't really shout about it. But I guess on the flip side of that, they want their images flown around everywhere and for people to talk about it. But not the catchiest of livery to maybe keep the conversation going for very long.
No, like you say, it is underwhelming to say the least, which, like this person says, is perfectly on brand for Haas. They don't seem to sort of push the boat out. And it's a shame because, like you say, I've mentioned that I'm going to sort of slander them a bit, but I feel sorry for the people that are there working in the team, because it's no disrespect to them, because they're doing everything they can. But what frustrates me is we've just seen Andretti, for example, have their bid rejected, and Andretti are a, you know, legendary name. They've won in everything that they've competed in. They're clearly putting so much effort to the point where they were literally like, we've got a car from 2025, and they were really going ham, the facilities, everything. They've shown how serious they are, and then you get Haas, which are, in my opinion, a waste of a grid spot if Andretti aren't going to be allowed on there. Because Gene Haas doesn't want to invest in it. They've got a underwhelming livery, an underwhelming driver lineup, and there's just nothing about them. They have a huge opportunity as this American team when America is like hugely into Formula One at the moment, and they are just... not even remotely, they're not even like a likable underdog either, in my opinion. I don't know what it is about them. They're just soulless, basically.
I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do much slander. And then ends it saying that they're soulless.
But it's true. They're literally like, here's a black car with Haas written on in white for the sixth year in a row. And we're going to, there's just not anything really interesting about them. And it's a shame when Formula One are rejecting teams. You did that joke on Twitter of like, Andretti aren't allowed in because they're not going to give anything to Formula One. And then Haas are a bit like, oh, this is awkward. And it's exactly right. Like, what are Haas giving us that Andretti wouldn't?
And this is where there's been conversation and discussion around like teams that are struggling to survive in Formula One, whether there needs to be, if there's more and more interest from other parties to join Formula One, a relegation system of somewhat, or something where, you know, if they don't achieve much, then bin them off after a few years. Now, this isn't personally just attacking Haas, it's whatever team that's come and gone over the years. Like, whether that's a system that needs to be put in place, who knows? But with Formula One continuously growing...
11th team. I don't understand why it's a problem.
Or do that and allow for two more cars to be on the grid. But apparently Formula One thinks that Andretti would gain more than F1.
They can't even claim that we've got to facilitate so much because they let Brad Pitt drive a Formula 2 car and have its own pit garage at a few of the races. And then they're like, Andretti, no, you're not allowed in. It's just pathetic, really, isn't it?
I think the cork in the bottle here, Tommy, is Monaco. They couldn't fit it in the Monaco pit lane. So,
Haas can sit that one out then.
Right, next question.
We've had 24, 26 teams at Monaco. And if anything, the pit lane is bigger than it was. So.
Hey, babes, it was a joke. Don't worry.
Don't put your sword away before
Monaco slander was a joke. Don't worry, I'd never come after you about that beautiful place. Next question comes in from Dom EFC. Why do Haas never capitalise on being the only US team and going with a US-style livery? I don't know, really, to be honest with you. Exactly. Maybe it's because they don't have a lot to shout about by being at the back, and maybe that in turn they just decide to not go down that route because it's not going to benefit them in any way, and if anything, make them potentially more memeable and silly if they're trying to be like, oh, yeah, Stars and Stripes, and they're at the back.
Stick an eagle on the nose cone.
Yeah, hire Logan Sargeant, boom.
Just go for it.
You're absolutely sorted. But it's linked with just the fact they're so hindered by not being able to spend a huge amount of money every year in order to develop this team. They are just trying to survive and praying for a miracle, but that's been going on for quite some time now. Like, they did used to score points, and they did, when they first joined, they were really impressive, and apart from the fact they couldn't put a wheel nut on properly around Australia. Yeah. But, like, you know, you think back to those days, they were quick. And now they are just hanging on for dear life. And is that what Formula One should be like? Once you get a pass into Formula One, should you always have that pass until you run out of money? I don't know. It just seems slightly backwards when there are other, potentially more likeable, better teams waiting in the wings.
Yeah, exactly. What are they giving to the sport, really? Not a lot. And like you say, they're going to probably, you know, they're going backwards. They're not doing well. And even, yeah, like you say, the livery's underwhelming. Their driver lineup, I'd argue, is a bit underwhelming as well. They're not really, like, giving a lot. And they could do so much more as this US team. And, you know, I was only joking about the whole, like, paint an eagle on it and make it blue with Star Stripes. But something. Just do something.
To make it likeable, like, yeah.
Yeah, they could be this likeable team. Like, we've seen teams in the past, like your Minardis or whatever, or they're trying to do something fun, and they're like this, like, they could even just be a likable underdog team, but they just don't really. And this is why, like, I do feel bad for slandering them, and I want to say, like, this is no disrespect to, like, all the people working there, because clearly the problem is at the top, and it's not being funded enough to give it a proper go. So, like, they're already, they're never going to be able to compete with the investment and the lack of effort that is being put into them. So they're already like on the back foot. So, and it just makes them like a bit of a laughing stock, really.
And I think it's not just to do with the car development and trying to do well in races. It goes down to just the general branding, messaging, and how they come across as a team. Because for me, you look at them from the outside looking in, and they just feel like a business. They just feel like quite a bland kind of...
I mean, having the thing on the livery, like Haas tools or whatever, it's like...
Yeah.
Where's the brilliant. Fun? Like,
yeah, where is that kind of marketability in the sense of people wanting to invest their emotions into your team and to buy merch and that sort of stuff? There is just nothing to draw you in. And you think back many years to, let's say, one that always comes to mind is Lotus and how they did social media and how they were the first ones to just take the mickey and just have a lot of fun with it. And the amount of fans that garnered, they weren't anything special, I don't think, at that time in terms of performances. But they brought so many fans in because they opened their doors, in a sense, to fans' hearts. And it was, yeah, I just feel like that they used to be a bit fun, Haas, on social media. And then they lost that, I think, after the whole Schumacher-Mazepin partnership. And they kind of gave up after that, I think, just purely because of how bad they were. So
yeah,
since then, I just feel they have lost a lot.
At least if they had, like I say, this fun side to them, then they might be this kind of plucky underdog that, yeah, don't have much budget, but you're like, oh, well... The car's cool and they're really funny on social media and they're trying to be silly with, certain marketing things or whatever. But I couldn't name any... Like the only things that have happened to Haas have all been spectacularly bad publicity in terms of sponsors or the people that they've got in on the team and things like that. That's all they had... going for it, and Gunther Steiner because he swore in DTS and he's not even there anymore. So
yeah, Gunther was probably the last straw in terms of personality and people actually wanting to support Gunther. That was a big thing, wasn't it? It was the amount of people from Drive to Survive that just loved Gunther and wanted Haas to do well. Anyway, let's move on to another question. This one comes in from Sam Dougie Douglas. If you were Haas, would you not just give up and sell to Andretti? I think I can see this being probably the way out. I don't know how many years down the line Gene Haas decides to continuously burn money here, but I think eventually they will just go, there's no point anymore. But the fact that they've sacked Gunther to get another team principal in gives me the impression that they're at least going to give this until the new regulations, if not maybe a year into that, to roll the dice again to see if they can come up with something that's decent. And if not, if at the end of 2026 they're still not great, that's when they bin it off and potentially sell. That's in my head the journey for Haas from here.
Yeah, I can never see them being like this powerhouse thing, but at least if they were, like you say, like fun or something, it might be, or had something about them. But Andretti is obviously, so this is going to be a question that is going to get brought up a lot of like, come on Haas, just let someone else have a go, because they feel like they are just sort of hanging about they're not welcoming new teams into Formula One, clearly, even a team that I think Andretti were very serious about it. I don't know why they thought they weren't serious and wouldn't accept them. But the Formula One teams have gone on about how much money they would be and how they've been offered to sell their slots on the grid for like billions and billions. And you think like, why not do it? And then especially like if Haas really want to promote their power tools or whatever, just sell the team, use that money, and stick a big Haas logo on the Andretti or something. Like what are they getting out of Formula One at the moment? I don't know. I know they wouldn't, but well, they could sponsor another car. Like there's nothing to say they couldn't. Like
that would be quite the quite the downfall, wouldn't it? We've left F1, but our sticker still remains. Okay, next question. Charlandos. Why did Charles start a live literally the second the premiere was starting and finish the live 2 minutes later? I did wonder that. I was like, wait, is Charles Leclerc somehow linked to this Haas launch with the fact that they have Ferrari engines and stuff? Loaded up the Instagram live. No, he's karting. I think it was just a terrible coincidence, personally.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, it was to the second almost as the as car launch started.
It was like, and I was like, oh, Charles live. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Haas were combating blooming Lewis Hamilton joining Ferrari, and then they had the other Ferrari driver going live on Instagram. Oh, my goodness me. Poor Haas. They really were fighting against the tide with this one. But I think it was just a coincidence.
It was just a coincidence. But yeah, Haas, yeah, they had it. They were up against it to try and create any kind of huge chatter and promo. But like I said, that, you know, they didn't even... They've got a new team principal, which we'll talk about in a bit. They didn't even present him. It's just literally just a render of a car. Nothing from the drivers, nothing from anyone else, which we always obviously joke about, oh, it's a bit boring when they go on and on for a car launch, but not even afterwards. Like, we've not even seen pictures of, like, I don't know, the new overalls or anything like that, from what I've seen at least anyway. So it is literally just, here's a car, goodbye. So yeah, they were, it, I guess they maybe they thought, well, we're never going to compete. Let's just quietly launch it.
Yeah, but what if that is their mentality? Why are they still here?
Exactly. Here?
What's the point? Like, make an effort. Give us some driver interviews. Get K-Mag saying "suck my balls." Whatever it might be, you know what I mean. Let's just.
Well, they didn't even make a thing of that either. Like, that could have been something that they could have made such a sung and dance about, and they kind of did a little bit with the odd tweet. But you know, you've got Magnussen and Hülkenberg that had this big spat, and I don't know. You never see anything on, like, YouTube of the two Haas drivers having a laugh or something. Like, nothing.
I mean, I did see something, actually, which I'm going to quickly search.
While you're searching for that, this sums it up, that as two Formula One fans, like, when we were doing our car launch on Twitch, you said, oh, no, there is a video. And I was like, well, I didn't even know they had a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just no...
They didn't really post about it, did they? The fact that they're going to be live and sharing the video, they just kind of went, boom, there you go. I mean, look, they did a fans Q&A with Kevin and Nico on their YouTube channel 2 months ago. 7,500 views. How, as two Formula One drivers...
Yeah. I've never seen that, or like... Yeah, no. I wouldn't even know that was on there. Yeah.
I think they're just really need to change how they, you know... Maybe we can, you know, get a P1 logo on Haas, and then we can give our advice.
A purple livery, that would have got us talking, wouldn't it?
Oof. It'd slow us down, because obviously we don't need purple accents, Tommy, because of course
slow them down even more. They will go from a whopping 10th in the constructors to 10th in the constructors.
To be fair, if they're going to get 10th, I mean, we'll get onto this very quickly in a second about how slow they're already predicting they're going to be. If they're going to be slow, they may as well look good doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Come on, let's just make the whole car gold. You know what I mean? Just something to really give it some. And this is the final question. Mega versus Primus. Has AO been too honest with saying they will be last in Bahrain? So to give you context, the new team principal has said that they will be towards the back, if not last, in Bahrain. How?
What a first statement to, like, say at a car launch.
You can't... Like, that is why some people are like, oh, Matt, that tweet's a bit harsh, isn't it? Because obviously I tweeted saying, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you 10th in the constructors. But there is no way...
Themselves are saying it.
Yeah. There is no way that a team is going to get any higher than 10th in the constructors, in my mind... if the team principal is already writing off their chances before the season's begun. And we know what Haas's development path is anyway. Usually they're okay at the start of the year because they've invested in a lot of development for that moment. And then they do maybe one more upgrade in the whole of the year. And then they're like, oh, maybe they'll be good then. If they're going to be rubbish out the blocks, that's not looking good.
No, exactly. What a thing to... And again... You know, he's only being honest and a realist, but it's not the greatest statement to come out with when you're a new team principal. You know, you're meant to be building this team up and going, I know things are looking bad and we're probably going to struggle, but we can get there eventually. Like, where's the ambition?
Yeah, anything.
Even if it is just unrealistic, like, a little bit of ambition. You've got to think, like, the people there that, you know, how is that motivating to hear stuff like that when you've just been working your butt off on a building a Formula One car and the team principal's going, well, yeah, we're going to finish last, aren't we? Let's be honest.
Oh, they haven't even had testing yet. They haven't even rolled the car out, which for me basically makes me think that they haven't even changed the car from last year or something. Like, it genuinely feels like that because, yeah, I appreciate the honesty, but on the flip side, as you say, think of the hundreds of people working at this Haas team, slaving away trying to make this car better and make this team better, and then the team principal's just come in and gone, nah, mate, no chance. It just needs to wrap it and go, look, it's going to be quite a difficult start to the year we envisage, but, you know, we're working really hard. Whatever it might be, just to kind of sugarcoat it a little bit. You don't need to be so cutthroat. Yeah. We don't need, like, oh, my goodness me. Maybe at the end of testing you go, yeah, it's not looking great. Not before they've even rolled the blooming car out. That's crazy. So Matt and Tommy for team principal of P1 Racing very soon. Right, that is it, Tom Bellingham. And everybody listening and watching, thank you, as always. Thank you for the support yesterday as well on our Lewis Hamilton content, whether it's over on P1 or our brand new YouTube channel, Wheel Knowledge. Please go and subscribe to that if you haven't already. We've also got a video on there, why has Lewis Hamilton gone to Ferrari for 2025? What are your final thoughts, Thomas?
My final thoughts are, yes, do go subscribe to that new channel because we've got lots more exciting ideas and... like we were going to tell you, and we did put some graphics out, but we changed our video anyway because of the Lewis Hamilton news that, don't worry, P1 is going to be the same. We said it on our Twitch stream and stuff, but in case you didn't know, don't worry about the level of content coming out on P1. It's exactly the same and spruced up even better as well. So we're not doing a Haas, we're putting some effort in. One last Hastic before.
That's because we believe we can finish better than 10th. That's that's the difference here, isn't
it? P10 with Matt and Tommy.
Yeah, we're P1. We have to work hard, mate. All right. Thank you, everybody. See you soon. Lots of love. Bye.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.